The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 260th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I am the host of this lovely show. And joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
Dude, I am awesome. It sucks that we couldn't do a show last week because, you know, I was live at the show. But
yeah,
because I was traveling and because, oh, so you were just covering the biggest NFL game end of the week of Detroit and Buffalo. The battle between number one in the NFC and number two in the AFC, it was crazy. So, yeah, big job, big opportunity. It's awesome that you got to cover
that game. I was in New York for a day.
What were you in, for Heisman? Or what were you in New
York? No. That wasn't for work. So my parents actually were celebrating their anniversary. 30 years, I'm pretty sure, is the number. And they were traveling to Barbados, basically. But they had a full 24-hour layover in New York before they flew to Barbados. And they were kind enough to have us fly with them to New York for that day just to hang out. We went to go see The Outsiders musical, which was amazing. Absolutely spectacular.
Oklahoma's own, baby.
There you go. There was a former Michigan Wolverine who is one of the cast members, which we were hyped about. But we did that. We got to finally, my mom has been dying her entire life. She hasn't seen the Rockefeller Center tree, like Christmas tree. And she finally got to see it. So she was absolutely floored by it, like almost got emotional about it. And it is amazing for sure. And we got to hang out with some friends. We got to just be in New York for the holiday season, which we've been to New York plenty of times ever during that time. And it looks insane. It looks absolutely insane around that time. But yeah, so we were there for a day and then immediately after we flew back home, while our parents got to be in Barbados for a little under a week to celebrate their anniversary.
Oh, cool.
And if I have to figure out too, because from this episode of Dynamite, I need to know if Chris Jericho was in New York the same day as we were when he filmed his King of New York segment for the tease for Death Before Dishonor. Because if Chris Jericho was in New York the same day as we was and was walking around Times Square with the damn Ring of Honor World Championship and I missed him, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, then you really don't want to know, right?
No, I need to know. I need to know if he was there, what day he was there when he filmed that segment. I need to know because I need to know if we missed him.
Dude, I was my own version of Time Cop tonight. I am watching a clip from ROH, and I see this big black man in a pink shirt. So I was there and here at the same time. So
yeah?
Yeah, just remember that. No, and I was going to talk about that last week. Did my Missouri two-step. went to Kansas City for Winter Is Coming. I have never missed the Winter Is Coming, which is weird. It was something I didn't know that I had done until this opportunity for this trip came, and I was like, oh yeah, I've been to every Winter Is Coming. And this is the first time they've done it in not Texas, which, you know, sucks. No, because, you know, they were doing the All In stuff. It would have made sense for Winter Is Coming to be in Texas, you know, really try to get some of the All In seats sold or whatever. But whatever, they did in Kansas City. I went. The next night was in Collision, and I went. So this is the funny part. I'm sitting there, and I brought a FTR hoodie, right? But they weren't announced for anything, so I really like to wear the shirts of people that are going to be on the show to show my support. So that Wednesday night, I wore the comic strip one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I had my FTR hoodie on, and I took it off. And, you know, FTR wasn't built for the show, so it was fine. So they get up, and they cut a promo. And they say, hey, we're going to be standing right in the middle of that ring of Collision, and we're going to be ready for a fight. Dude. Yes. I was like, baby. I started getting up, everybody looking at me weird around the section, because I'm so hyped, because I know I'm going to Collision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Collision, and I'm wearing my Willow shirt, and I was like, well, I know FTR is coming out, so hopefully Willow comes out first, then I can put the hoodie back on for when FTR comes out, right? All right, Willow, first match, Willow. I'm like, oh my God, this is too perfect. Willow has her match, put on my FTR hoodie. And let me tell you, it was kind of warm in there, so I was sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
In my FTR hoodie, but it's okay. Then no mention of FTR the whole night. Nothing.
Man.
You know the backstage segment where they got kidnapped?
I do remember that.
They did not show that in Collision. So at the arena. So literally, if you're there on Wednesday and then there on Thursday, it was just like they didn't mention it at all. And I'm like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
And then as I'm leaving, I'm like, that's how I say, man, it sucks that we can get FTR. And of course, anytime, it's so funny, anytime you say something sucks, somebody's like, but we had a great show. I'm like, I wasn't saying the show was bad. I was saying it was suck that they kind of built FTR for the show, and then they weren't on it. Again, this is, you're hearing my thoughts as of Thursday before what played on Saturday. And, so then watch back Saturday, watch back Saturday, and it's like, oh, they got attacked. That would have been great to show in the arena at Collision. But again, it was like me and one other guy, maybe, that went from Kansas City, you know, to St. Louis. But I had a good time, had some St. Louis is known for their Chinese food. I know that's weird to hear. They're known for the Chinese food. So I got some Chinese food, got me some White Castles, had a great time, drove back incident-free, which was great. I have switched from Hilton to Marriott Rewards. So I'm a Marriott guy, so got to stay in some hotels pretty cheap. I was like, yeah. I stayed with, and he probably listened to this when he hears it, Chris Reigns. And he was a Marriott guy. And I stayed, and we just had a good time. And I was like, I think I'm going to be a Marriott guy. And that's when I, like, signed up to being in Marriott Bonvoy or whatever. So thanks. Shout out to Chris Reigns. Thank you for that one. But other than that, I had a really good show, and I felt like I put all the results on here. I don't know if we were going to go through them all or whatever, but these are all the results since the last time we recorded up to Dynamite, not including Dynamite because, you know,
for the Continental Classic, we are getting down to the nitty gritty of it, and it is a tight race in this thing. So,
And I just wanted to give a shout out to all the wrestlers. I know y'all don't listen to me. I am nothing, but it seems like y'all got the memo that we needed better
matches. Oh, they got the fucking memo.
Yeah, they got the memo that we needed better matches because last week, I think it's about these 10 matches. Yes. They were all like, okay, this is what I wanted. And then the piece de la resistance we'll talk about later is Will Ospreay versus Darby Allin.
For sure. So, Floyd, do you want to go through all those matches real quick? All
right. So, Okada beat Mark Briscoe. Daniel Garcia beat Mordos. Ricochet beat Commander. Then Darby beat Commander. Kyle Fletcher and Okada had a banger, and Fletcher beat Okada. Man, they're pushing the shit out of Kyle Fletcher.
They really are, man.
Mark Briscoe beat Daniel Garcia. I thought that was like the first big upset of the thing because, you know, like Mark Briscoe, even though he was the ROH champion, you know, loses. pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. Osprey beat Claudio. So, and we were doing this thing where we were getting a lot of roll-ups, and I didn't like that. I just want somebody to be better, you know, that kind of thing.
Ricochet
beat Brody King. Oh, my God, Kansas City. Kansas City didn't want Ricky. They did not want Ricochet.
They did not.
No, Brody, hey. I was listening to the show before, and, like, people, like, you know, hate Chance and me and the Chant guy. Man, Chant, if you're awesome and you got a Chant, dude, you can go miles. Like, Brody King is the underpushed guy right now because the crowd fucking loves him. He's huge. He should win a lot more.
And dude, the entire House of Black is like that because Buddy Matthews got a fucking huge ovation just a few weeks ago.
Super over. I was really shocked Buddy Matthews wasn't in a Continental Classic. There was a reason probably, but I was shocked he wasn't. Then we had Okada beating Mortos again. And then Briscoe, with his second upset in a row, gives Kyle Fletcher his first loss in another banger. The shocking that the two matches I'm really telling you are bangers from this week were Kyle Fletcher was in it. Like Kyle Fletcher. He's putting on nothing but great matches, and then Briscoe just beats him. And it wasn't a fluke. He just beat him. He was just better than him. And that's what I like to see. So, yeah, that catches you up on the Continental Classic going into Dynamite.
Yeah. And we got so much to get into with this holiday bash episode of Dynamite. Before we get into everything, though, from this week's episode, we got to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you're listening to us on. Turn automatic downloads on and be sure to share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And follow us on Twitter at AT Elite Pod. You can also follow at Social Suplex to make this show possible and check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Szumowicz. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. First of all, I got to give a massive shout out to our boy Floyd real quick before we get into our news of the week. Because this dude, this unbelievable human being that is my co-host that I've been doing this podcast with now for, I believe we're coming up on 3.5-4 years. I think we're getting close on with me and you.
Yeah.
This dude is literally got front row seats for All In Texas. And he is like, yo, y'all coming with us. And he's getting us tickets for All In Texas. And I am absolutely beside myself. That is his Christmas gift for me and my sister Sydney, and he is a godsend of a person. There will be a rescinding gift for Christmas as well that is already in process of coming your way, and I have to just give you a shout out and tell you how much I appreciate you, my guy. It is the holiday season, and if we're not, I don't even know if we're doing an episode next week after Christmas, but if we're not, regardless, I appreciate the hell out of you, man. And again, the fact that you went and did that is insane. And dude, love you to death, man. Love you to death.
Dude, there are like All In, my favorite show. Let's be real. I have to give credit where credit's due. Other than WrestleMania, my favorite show. You know, like it's like WrestleMania, still WrestleMania. But All In's my favorite show. I've had the pleasure of being at all of them. But the first one you were at, right?
Yes, we were at the first one, yeah.
And I was at it. But we didn't know each other.
No, we did not.
We did not. We did not know each other at all. So when I was thinking of there, I have a list of people that I absolutely want to be at the show as far as it. And, of course, two of the people at the top of the list were you and your sister because, you know, y'all are my family, as like over the last few years, that's what y'all have become, very much an extended part of my family. So I definitely wanted y'all at the show. I am very happy that y'all can make it. That's what I said. It's like, dude, the picture, I told, I want to get a picture with all my people, like right before the show, like right outside the stadium. And I'm like, it's going to be like 90 people in the picture. It's going to be crazy.
Genuinely.
Yeah. So, no, I think everybody should go All In, of course. I think everybody should go if you can. If you can't, I understand. But I think everybody should go in. You know, there's WrestleMania, and everyone's seen it. Everyone that's thought about going to WrestleMania has seen the ticket prices. Mm-hmm. AEW presents a WrestleMania energy show for what would be a fraction of the price. So I don't know how y'all decide where to shows you're going to or whatever, but I usually go for bang for my buck, right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing better, I think, than All In for that, because it's just cool. They're actually doing buy four, get the fifth free right now. They're doing all sorts of things to, you know, get those numbers up.
Yeah.
And it's the gate's already high. So they've already busted over $1 million. It's going to be like the third largest show in AEW history no matter what. So get your seats before, you know, this new year happens. And, like, I know this is not trying to be a commercial, but the new year happens, and I feel like a lot of stuff's coming once they're on Max. Real push to put on, you know, the most amazing shows and try to get interest back in it. So don't be like when they announce Okada versus Kenny Omega, don't be looking for tickets. You should already have your tickets.
Yeah, there you go. Hope you can make it happen, dude. But yeah. Again, I'm so hyped about that. But getting into the news of the week for this show, we got more details about AEW and how it will be on Max going forward in the coming year in 2025. Of course, we're going to have the simulcast taking place with Fight for the Fallen in the first week of the new year. But getting into everything else going from January 1st, there were legit full details tweeted out by AEW, so that way everyone knows exactly what to expect when AEW starts appearing on Max and what you can expect for content and what will be available.
Yes. The big thing is this is what I'll say. I know a lot of people watch the show, but I know a lot of people watch the show in a non-traceable way. If you happen to be watching on Max, I think, as a fan, that's the way you should watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, as I have YouTube TV, and I can turn it on YouTube TV and watch it every week. I'm pretty sure it gets counted somewhere. I hope. That's a hope into the ether. But you know 100% where Warner Brothers Discovery and AEW are going to see if you're watching it? On their own app.
Yes.
So I would suggest, if you have HBO Max, I'm not saying run out and get it. If you have HBO Max already, that's the preferable. I would say, just based on my opinion, that would probably be the preferred way to watch it, because that's a number. You're one person watching HBO Max. I just feel like for some reason, you know, as far as their TV deals and as far as trying to get a TV deal down the road, that's probably going to count a little stronger than the TV ratings, because TV, a lot of people are cord cutting. So if you want to show your support and you have the option, go HBO Max.
Yeah, it truly makes all the sense. And the fact that they're putting like all the pay-per-views and all the past content on, dude, it's like, that's the big thing. It's like, obviously at this point, like, they are saying you will have to pay for each pay-per-view moving forward, but the previous pay-per-view content will become available on a rolling basis. So that's the big thing, just being able to have that in one place.
And I think the price is going to drop too, which mm-hmm. is like, as far as your pay-per-views, I don't think they're going to be like, hey, you got to have HBO Max plus it's $49.99. I think the price is going to be lower.
Yeah, because having the combination of that, it brings in more revenue, so that way you don't have to charge that much to be able to break even.
Correct.
So yeah, that's available. Like I said, if you want to see the tweet itself, it's on AEW on TNT's on TV's Twitter account. So that's where you can find that official tweet. But and, it's exciting,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we definitely retweeted it from our page. So there you go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so you can find it on ours as well. It's exciting just being able to have this be a thing that's happening. And the Fight for the Fallen show is going to be an exciting one when the flip happens. So we're going to move in now to AEW Dynamite Holiday Bash, which emanated from Washington, D.C., from the Entertainment and Sports Arena in D.C. The show opened up backstage with Jay White and Orange Cassidy, they were asking them about World's End and how are they focused on the Death Riders tonight or each other, or are they focused on World's End? And he's like, Mr. Cassidy, my focus is on the AEW World Championship, but I got to make it to World's End first, so I have to rely on you and Hangman because I have no Bang Bang Gang today. But I can't rely on Hangman because he's only good for letting people down. Hangman immediately starts screaming and getting in Jay White's face and makes it very clear, John Moxley is mine tonight. Do not step in my way. Do not keep me from what I want, or else I will very much make you suffer. And solid enough open to tease off to what would be the main event of the show. And again, this four-way that's taking place, which is going to be very exciting for World's End. And just basically giving you the idea of like, hey, these guys that are about to team against the Death Riders tonight, not sure if they're going to be on the same page.
Yeah, I dug this to a point, but after they all attacked each other the last week and then in a six-man, that's very like, it's wrestling. It's pro wrestling. But it's sure. Like, why would they be teaming with each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
no, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But we opened up the show with a TBS championship match between the CEO, Mercedes Moné, versus Anna Jay. First comment I did want to say, though, because obviously this happened a little while ago when Camille outright quit on Mercedes being like, I'm done with your bullshit, and just walked out on her after she took a bunch of shit. Seems like she's going to be gone from TV and she's just going to be off AEW moving forward. I believe I heard a possible reason why, and it wasn't good. But I don't know, Floyd. Did you see any of that? By the way,
I heard it too, and all I can say is we gotta somehow get past this. I've never run a wrestling company. I've never dealt with the personalities. I am not equipped to give advice. But we have to somehow get past the, hey, I'm just going to send you home and sit there, even though it doesn't make sense, or whatever. We got to get past this shit. I don't know if that's what's going on here. I really don't. This is me talking as if this is what's going on here, but we got to get past it. It just seems like you're a company, you're 5 years in, you got all this dead money just from people you're paying, and they're not working. And it's at this point, it's just like, I mean, if you get them in and it's not working out, you know, maybe work out a buyout, get them out there. I don't know. I don't know. It's just having all this, like, dead weight on the roster. And why dead weight? I mean, they're there. They're ready to work. You just don't want to use them. Just doesn't seem like to make a lot of business sense to me. It didn't make a lot of business sense.
It doesn't, no.
It doesn't make business sense when WWE did it either, okay? It just doesn't.
Oh, absolutely. No, again, it's just paying people to stay at home just doesn't make a whole lot of sense other than just, again, being a spiteful decision or just being a decision of like, you know, obviously you're not going to be able to help us, so I don't want to just cut you loose and just like, you know, maybe there's some way. I don't know. Regardless, it's a dumb situation. I'm tired of just constantly hearing about this shit backstage. Everything constantly coming out. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm sick of that.
I mean, my whole thing is this, and I do ignore a lot of it. It's just no matter what you say, it does make you seem like you're just in over your head, even though you're probably not, but it just comes off that way. You know, it's just like, it comes off as, hey, do you even know what you're doing kind of thing? And you know, the AEW's been, you know, a great, you know, great company that I've enjoyed. But it's just like this whole idea of keeping players hostage. I mean, keeping, you know, I said players, but because they are kind of, you know, like that. But keeping the people hostage just doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. It's just
that,
if you don't
that want, is for sure.
If you don't want to use it, offer them a buyout. Make it some way to where they can go. And, of course, they may go to WWE and be super successful. But, you know, that's the price you play. If you don't want to use them, don't use them. Like I said, I'm not talking about contracts. If you sign a contract, theoretically, you should pay or live out the contract. I do. I'm thinking on the end of how your company is viewed by the world.
Yeah.
You don't want to be viewed like the other company. You know what I mean? No, that's yeah. your whole thing. You're the alternative. Run your business in an alternative way. Like, let these people go. Like, whatever. Basically, if you don't want Camille anymore, hey, we had a run. We tried. It didn't work. Otherwise, you got ROH. You know, you got indies. Just, you know, let her, you know, have her working or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how much truth there is to any of this. I want to make sure that it's clear. Shit, yeah. Camille could come out next week after or whenever Mercedes wrestles whoever's next. And Camille could come out and dominate her, and then they have a brilliant story.
Sure.
But it's just what I've seen online doesn't seem that's possible. And it's to me, even if you don't like the person, or even if they do something you don't like, shit, bring them on TV and beat them. That's another person for Mercedes to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it is what it is. I just brought it up just because seemingly it was just another instance of just like, all right, well,
yeah.
clearly we have nothing to do for this person. There's problems backstage, seemingly, if that's to be believed. And we're just going to be like, you know what, just stay home and ride out the rest of your contract. Which, again, is just, it's tiresome.
And there's one more thing. There's this thing with VJ Whitmore, Chris, blah, 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 about AEW, and there was a woman that put up a GoFundMe and all that stuff. I'm just saying this on the show. It has nothing to do with wrestling, so I'm probably never going to talk about it.
Same.
Like, they had nothing
I said, I got no opinions on it.
Yeah, I have no opinions. They do what they do, whatever. They'll handle it the way they handle it, whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with wrestling, so I don't have any comment.
There you go. The match itself between Mercedes and Anna Jay, obviously Anna Jay getting a huge shot at the TBS Championship. Mercedes basically being like, you know, you're not even remotely ready for this. You are so beneath me, was the build going into this match. And I thought it was a pretty damn good match to open up the show. I'm glad they actually had this open just to kind of give that big push of, like, you know, really getting people while they're hot, getting the crowd, like, from Jump Street. I thought it was a good decision to have that be the case. But I thought it was a pretty solid match. I thought they had some pretty good moments in this match. It was competitive. I like the constant work for the bank statement and the Queen Slayer. And I just really thought, like, she's able to really just set, I always can't get over how well Mercedes Moné sells. Her getting slammed into the corner was crazy. There was a couple moments where it may have been a little bit sloppy, but I thought it was a pretty solid match, a predictable one, but one that was exciting. And had some really good stuff in it. And Anna did her thing. Anna did her thing. She's clearly shown a significant amount of improvement, I think, from when she started. The biggest thing that you can take out of this match is that you see some legitimate improvement in Anna Jay just as a wrestler itself.
Yes.
And Mercedes still is just who she is.
I think 2025 is going to be the year of Anna Jay. I truly think that's when she's going to, because I feel like her work is taking the next step up. She's always had the look. She looks like she does. And she's always, and when she cuts promos, they're always at least decent, you know, decent to good. So she's very comfortable on the mic. It's just somebody that you can build up behind, and you know how AEW does it. They have you lose a bunch, and then they push you. So she's in her lose a bunch situation right now. I could see Anna Jay coming along later, and Women's Continental Classic. I'm just throwing those terms out there. Just throwing that term out there, you know, Tony Khan. Women's kind of a class.
You know, it's a thing you could do at any time.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I wouldn't call it a continental classic, because if it was me, I would not create the new women's belt. I would call it something, and the winner would get a shot at the title.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, so more like the G1 than the Continental Classic, which is for a new title. So I think it could work. I think there's going to be more time. I think you could do it over all three of your televised products, AEW, Collision, and some on ROH, and, you know, give a reason to watch all of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think that works. We then moved on to We then had backstage footage of FTR backstage, back at their home, actually, and talked about how, you know, we're just trying to, we want change just like you guys do, but I disagree with the way that you guys go about creating that change. You tried to poison another man, and you, that's going to get us left for dead? And they were questioning, you know, at least is after what happened to us. Is their life at without wrestling, after wrestling? Doc Samson said he wasn't going to clear us for the rest of the year. So January 1st, we will be cleared, and we're going after the Death Riders, and we're going to fight you guys, and we're not coming alone. Top guys out. So Floyd, who are they bringing?
Oh, it is Mr. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Cope, a.k.a. Hey. Resident of Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, let's go.
They're, yeah, they all live in, like, you know, resident of Asheville, North Carolina. I'm like, there. I feel like somebody said one earlier, and I was like, he would have been a great second option because they kept talking about it being from North Carolina. Kenny Omega being the third guy would have been great because he always, you know, his thing from North Carolina. You know, he's walked through North Carolina or whatever they said. So that would have been funny, but it's gonna be rated FTR. That's what's going down. I like it. I like it. It's a great January, you know, beginning of the year feud. You want to start off, Fight for the Fallen and it's time on Max with a match. FTR and the Death Riders group, you know, whichever thing, they work really, really fucking well together. And yes, let's go.
Let's fucking go. Yeah, that's basically it. We then had a back in-ring segment with MJF where he talked about how it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, my God. This was such a boring slog to get through.
Yeah, yeah. You hated this?
Oh, my God. I mean, it was just, it felt like it was forever. And I love MJF. I think he is a generational talent. I love Adam Cole. I think he's amazing. I don't give a fuck about this feud.
I will get, yeah, so basically, yeah. MJF, I will say this, MJF did his MJF shtick,
yes,
and it was entertaining, yeah. I enjoyed it, I liked him turning on the music and doing his little tease for the fundraiser, and talks about, you know, there's these children starving in the street, picture that small child, is this Bebe, and it's a Photoshop of Adam Cole looking significantly skinnier than he actually is.
I gotta say, of this, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
because it was great. I was like, that wasn't too far off.
It was. I can't imagine there was too much work that they had to do in the Photoshop edit.
The yellow, the jaundice looking. I was like, good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So MJF then proceeds to be like, if you want to help this small baby, and goes directly into like, scan this QR code to buy the pay-per-view, which is about as like, front and center advertisement as you could possibly do for the show. Like I said, they are doing everything in their power to sell their shows and their tickets and everything like that. They're going way more out and out front and just jumping ahead of everything.
Dude, they used to just have to announce a show. And it was
all they normally had to do. And then the tickets would sell, pay-per-view buys would go up. Now they're going heavy into the selling of it, and it's very apparent.
Yeah, pay-per-view.com, that's what the link took you to. And I was like, man, they must be getting some kind of, like, again, this is just fan speculate, must be getting kickback from pay-per-view.com, because it's not going to Triller, it's not going to YouTube, it's going to pay-per-view.com, which I've never ordered a pay-per-view personally. Yeah.
Yeah. But Adam Cole then appears on screen talking about how it's for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, and he had a meeting with Tony Khan because he's going to have two men that are by my side, and it's Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, and he called him a dead man, how he's going to finish this thing at World's End, and then goes, hey, Max, am I kicking your ass yet? And that's when he appears in the ring and hits him with a super kick, and before he can hit the Panama Sunrise, MJF runs out. Yes, to your point, Floyd, this feud, like I said, I have said since Adam Cole came back, we've been trying to salvage this. This was supposed to be the biggest feud for AEW in 2023, and it died, basically. It died the moment that Adam Cole fucked up his ankle. That's the moment it died. But do not tell Tony Khan that, because he's going to get this fucking feud going, like, whether he dies trying or not, because it does not matter if the Undisputed Kingdom is a dead faction. He wants to get them on TV, and he wants to get them involved in this feud, and the Devil storyline is tied in some way. Like, again, they should have just cut this off at the pass. I'm still excited to have MJF versus Adam Cole in general, but
they're going to put on a banger.
It's going to be a banger match. But at the same time, like, now we're kind of just in a similar boat where this is almost kind of just a repeat of what we had at All In London. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing really too different, because obviously the huge differing factor of the match moving forward beforehand was that it was a heel Adam Cole versus a babyface MJF. That was the whole different selling point of this match happening again, was that we were going to get a different look of it. Now we're not, and I prefer it that way, because let me be frank, I prefer MJF the way that he is as opposed to a babyface. I always will prefer that. But at the same time, there's been so much time that has passed since this whole thing happened with the Devil Mask and then Adam Cole being hurt. Like, it's just come to this point where it's just, there's no heat remaining in this whatsoever. People have just haven't seen these guys for a while, that the feud does not have the gas that it should have, because, again, Adam's been hurt for months. Now, I'm excited to finally get the match, but I'm more so just wondering what the hell you do, because I feel like it's just leading towards Mike Bennett and Matt Taven screwing over Adam Cole, and then they align themselves with MJF.
My wife, who barely watches the product, said, "Oh, they're gonna turn on him." Like, it's like, and maybe they go some other way, but right now, like, the blind man,
like, it's right there, man.
Yeah, like, right now, it seems like a blind man can see where this is going, and
Quite frankly, like, I don't know how much more I can take a MJF heel faction. You know what I mean? We've gotten, like, what, three now? Would be?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, man. I just can't. I get the idea of MJF being a chicken shit heel and having bodies to defend him and all that kind of stuff, but at the same time, this would be the third different faction that MJF has been a part of in 5 years. It's too much.
I gotta say, too much. I tend to agree, but if it gets me Wardlow back, I'm okay.
I understand that. If it gets us guys that we want to see on TV, here's the thing, though. I do not like Matt Bennett. I do not like Matt Taven.
Oh.
I will put my feet in there. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're going to come for you. Hey, thoughts.
Oh, no. The Ring of Honor Bros are going to come after me.
Thoughts expressed by Austin Sumowitz. Is his thoughts alone and does not represent the thoughts of All Things Elite, because I love Matt Taven, because I'm Matt Taven. Okay? Madison Square Taven.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I love Matt
Taven. Okay.
No, I don't really love Matt Taven. I like Matt Taven. I like Michael Bennett. I like when they did the kick him in the weenie, hit him in the weenie, and drop him on his head. I love it. Pile drive on the neck. Love that. But, yeah, it seems obvious that's what's coming. I actually called them turning at the previous pay-per-view. They did not. So maybe they do it at this. But because it's like, this seems like Adam Cole and MJF, they had their chapter at All In. They had their chapter last year at World's End. Which, again, when Adam Cole's ankle exploded, they probably should have just, you know, say, hey, yeah. It didn't work out, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't, and they kept, and they tried to soldier on. And I do have to give them this slight bit of credit. They didn't give up on this shit.
No, they did not.
So if they go out there and have an amazing match, and they do this turn or whatever in this amazing way, and then I come back, I am looking forward to eating crow. Right now, as a pretty hardcore AEW watcher, I am bored as hell with this feud. I just want it to end.
Yeah, it's just, I'm excited for the match. itself.
Like,
it's not the feud that I don't care about the least, but it's one that I do not care for personally. It's not hugely into it. And again, it's very much out of control, out of the situation, out of aid of control itself. And Tony Khan is a man of conviction. He wants this feud to go, and he wants to get it going. Dude, but people just do not care.
Just think about this. And this is how I've put it since the beginning. I don't know what MJF will be doing. I have no alternate booking plans for them. But let's just say Adam Cole comes back and he doesn't go after MJF. And MJF doesn't go after Adam Cole. And then they don't mention each other, right, for months. While Adam Cole is getting back in the shape that he needs. Then, like, in January, February, boom, it's like out of nowhere. Like, Adam Cole or MJF attacks each other. And it's like, oh, they're bringing this back. That's amazing. We missed it. It went away. And then you brought it back. But the way you did it, it was just like, it feels like long, drawn out, and like I said, now I don't care about the end. And that, to me, it's like, I've always said, movies, TV shows, the beginning and the end. The middle is great, but if you give me a solid beginning, give me a solid end, it's going to be great. You feuds, give me a solid beginning, give me a solid end, it's going to be great. The middle has been so drawn out in this. It's almost going to kill the ending no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really got much else to say on that matter, but we'll move on. Jamie Hayter had a response after she got jumped by Julia Hart on Collision this past week on Julia Hart's return. She called her a coward and said, you decided to show up and you attack me from behind, called it a sneaking, classless move, and she's like, I know you're listening, so here's my message. Fight for the Fallen. I'm going to serve you a dish best served cold. I'm going to serve you some Haterade. And I'm excited for this match. I'm very much excited to see Julia back. I think this would be the first big match for Jamie Hayter in, like, a very long time. So this will be a moment where we'll be able to actually, like, really see Jamie Hayter get something to really get into. Because we were hyped when she came back. We've missed Jamie Hayter for quite some time. And I think this will be the first real chance for her to shine, I think, in a while.
Let's go. Yeah, I love Jamie. I got to see her match with Willow. They put on a banger. And Willow just won. I really did enjoy that match before. And then I was, Julia returned. I was there for the Julia return. I was actually there for two women returning in one night, I guess.
Wild.
So Julia returned, and she looked good. And, it was funny. I was going to bring this up. I was sitting at Collision next to a guy that had never seen AEW.
That must have been a fun experience.
Oh, it was super awesome because he was like, I don't know what's going on. And his friend's like, oh, you can come sit up here with me. And he was just talking to me. And I was, any question he had, I answered for it. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, you're great to sit by. You know all this stuff. So he's like, most people get annoyed. And I'm like, dude, no, I'm good. I generally watch it. I'm like, even if I miss something, I watch it for the second time when I get home because, I do this show. And he's like, oh, so you really are, like, the person to talk to. So I've given myself a new title, self-proclaimed, unofficial AEW ambassador, Floyd Johnson. Self-proclaimed, unofficial AEW ambassador is me.
Absolutely. That's our boy. That's our boy.
Because it was just so funny because you could just tell, like, he just came with his friends. And by the end of the night, he's like, I'm going to have to check this out now.
Hey, hell yeah. We made a fan. Made a fan of AEW.
Yes.
We love that. We then had a vignette of the impending return of Kenny Omega. Obviously, Mr. Omega will be wrestling at Wrestle Dynasty, and he's going to be part of that show, but we are getting ever so close to the return of Kenny Omega, and this is basically letting you know, like, hey, he's coming back. Give us a little bit more time, but he's coming back.
Kenny
obviously
Omega.
With him being, with us knowing that he's going to wrestle on Wrestle Dynasty, we've known this, so it didn't really spoil a return or anything like that, because we knew, like, Wrestle Dynasty was a thing that was going to happen. But at the same time, though, he'll be back in AEW very soon, like, and when he comes back, oh, he'll be a shot into the fucking veins of AEW that the company needs so bad, and I'm going to be so excited for it, man. We've missed Kenny for so long. We're hoping he's healthy and he's ready to go because we've missed our best bout machine. And yeah, like we're hoping we can finally see this guy and do what he does best.
Yes, I'm very excited for him. When people ask, I just had a friend that was like, you know, it's not a quick fix. Fixing AEW is not a quick fix. He's like, there's a bunch wrong with it. It's not a quick fix. I'm like, it is. And they was like, I think it is a quick fix. And he was like, what do you think can be done to fix it? I was like, healthy Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Hangman fighting for AEW.
Boom.
They started this. I know there are Kenny Omega fans that have checked out because he's not on the show, right?
Yeah.
And the Young Bucks are used, like, not, you know, sparingly, you know what I mean? A lot of times it's talking or whatever. But when they do wrestle, it's banger. And Hangman, people are just like, give us a reason to cheer Hangman again. Yeah. That dude punches Moxley in the face. Oh, yeah, Hangman's turning face. People want it so bad, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. So it's like, it's not a simple fix, but All Elite Wrestling kind of focusing at least, you know, for one or two storylines on, you know, the Elite. Yeah, that would help the company quite a bit.
A little bit, yeah. As a guy who's not a big Young Bucks, I'm not big into the Young Bucks right now. Like, those guys together are what would help this company out a ton, I know for a fact.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's you can't take the Elite out of AEW until you build people to fit in those spots. And that's the whole thing. As much as you've done a good job of, you know, trying to focus on different people, you haven't built anyone to the level of taking that spot away from the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. They're still the heart and soul of this company. So when they come back, and if they come back as a foursome, and if they come back as good guys, yeah, I think that's going to do a lot for AEW.
Uh-huh.
I think that's going to do a lot for restoring the feeling. Because it's like when you say restore the feeling, the Elite are the motherfucking feeling. They are the feeling. Yeah. Like,
I mean, yeah.
That's the feeling that you're trying to restore. So how are you going to restore a feeling without the people that are the feeling?
Pretty much. I mean, there's not much else to say in regards to that. We then get back into wrestling the matches themselves. We had the tag match between the Christian Cage himself, the Patriarchy, Christian Cage and Nick Wayne facing off against Hook and Katsuyori Shibata. And this was fine. I thought this was pretty damn solid. Everyone had their chance to shine in this match, it felt like. I loved how Shibata just fucking, his chops just still constantly, like, he's able to chop Christian Cage, he's not even showing skin on his chest because he's got his overshirt, and it still fucking echoes over the stadium, which is crazy. Nick Wayne has had a real good shine in this match. I felt like he had some really good moments in this. Hook, once again, is still a badass. There was a lot of interference in this match as Mother Wayne was distracting the referee. You also had Kip Sabian distracting the referee, but eventually that allowed Christian to hit Shibata, gouge him by the eyes, hit the kill switch, get the victory as Nick Wayne stole the pin to get the win. And the Patriarchy get the victory. I thought this was all right. I didn't do anything crazy. I thought it was solid. It was a good moment match for every guy to get some stuff in it. But other than that, it was just okay, I thought.
I ruined this match for me.
Okay.
I saw Hook and Shibata. I saw them against the outnumber Christian. Okay, Samoa Joe's coming back. And I'm just waiting for that whole, I'm waiting the whole match for Samoa Joe to come back to help Hook. Then he does it. And it has nothing to do with what any of the people did in the ring. It was me deciding Samoa Joe was going to come back, and then he didn't. And I was kind of like, well, yeah, that was a match.
Man.
I did it to myself.
Ah, well, that's a shame. But other than that, it was pretty solid. Then, of course, I told you about the King of New York vignette that aired. for Chris Jericho. Once again, if he was in New York the same day as we were and I didn't see him, I'm going to be mad. We had another vignette about Bandido's inevitable return, which will be happening. And then...
That dude is looking jacked. He is looking
fucking huge.
I mean, he's always strong, but he just looks like he's gotten bigger.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he looks like when he finally comes back. We then had the glamour, Mariah May. And she had some shit to say about to Thunder Rosa. And goes, how dare you say this women's division is alive and well when I've eclipsed everyone here just by being me. And then talked about their Tijuana street fight at World's End. She's like, we're going to do this. And you're going to bring your father. I'd love to end two generations in one night. And asked to Papa Rosa if being a loser runs in the family. And I'm not going to bring my father to the show because I don't want him to see what I'm going to do to Thunder Rosa. Mariah was just vicious. Like, just absolutely devastatingly evil in this promo. And I loved it. I loved it. Because she, like I said, she's just so good at being a heel and is just so devilishly good. I love it. I'm excited very much so for Mariah versus Thunder Rosa. This will be one of Thunder's biggest matches in a very long time. So I'm hyped for this match. I think they have a chance of doing really, really good. And it could be a huge, huge win for Mariah May too, who I think will go over. But I think I have a chance to a good possibility that they could try to steal the show too with this match. There's a good opportunity for them to really just beat the ever-living shit out of each other. And I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I still don't understand why it's a street fight. I still don't understand why the challenger gets to set the stipulation. I don't really understand what Thunder did to get a number one contender spot. Okay, that's all.
Yeah, she's just kind of here. But again, I'm not questioning anything because I've missed Thunder Rosa in the
spots. No.
I'm just like, however the fuck you can get her.
Dude, it's just this stuff. The AEW used to be pretty good at telling you why.
Correct. They used to be able to make it very clear as to what the reasons were.
Yeah, and it's just like, And this is like, for me, it's like, I don't understand, but I'm down because Thunder Rosa in a plunder match is amazing, and Mariah May is great, and I love her character, and they're going to beat the shit out of each other. So don't get me wrong. I'm going to like the match. Like I said, it's just, as a viewer, I'm like, why? I'm just like talking as a viewer, not as this hardcore fan. It's just like, okay, why? I understand Mina was the reason she got skipped the line is because Mariah challenged her, right? I got that. Like, where is the line? Is there a number one contender or is it? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. That's pretty much it. So. We need a little bit more consistency with the reasoning.
Yeah,
but other than that, like I said, we're hyped for it. But yeah, you got to make it. You got to make this shit clear, guys.
Like I see with Mox. Mox is his whole thing is he is a heel person that wants to beat everybody in the company to take away their spirit. That's the goal. If people aren't challenging him, he's challenging them because he wants to challenge you, give you a shot, and prove you're not good enough. Now, if that's the case with Mariah May, cool. Just say that.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. Yeah. We then had Ricochet being interviewed as they're teasing up his match against Will Ospreay on Collision on Saturday. He's got a suit on, and he's carrying himself very confidently. And that's when the Hurt Syndicate come out. And he's like, what's good, guys? You know, see how I beat the brakes off Commander. I handle Brody King. Look at me with my suit, and I gotta watch the two guys who I've left to face in the tournament. I'll be able to keep an eye on them, and they're gonna see a different side of me. And MVP was like, "Oh yeah. Do you still have my business card that I gave you?" And he's like, "Okay, let me see it." He takes the business card, and Lashley starts choking out Ricochet, and that's when MVP rips up the business card and tells him, no one likes a kiss ass, and then just kind of holds him off and lets him go. And that's when they get out of the ring before Shelton Benjamin has his match. So basically Ricochet saw an opportunity and immediately jumped in head first and then proceeded to get slapped across the face. So clearly the flip for Ricochet has happened where, you know, we had the crowd reaction from last week's show where people were not into Ricochet. They were into Brody King big time. Had the opportunity to join the Hurt Business. Then it was rescinded because he was a kiss ass. Yeah, Ricochet's not, no longer we getting good guy Ricochet. They have figured out very quickly that people are not a fan of Ricochet right now in terms of just his character, and they are leaning into it heavily. They've jumped on it instantaneously because he's going backstage and he's doing the like shit. Like he's being an irritating asshole. So it'll be interesting to see what he decides to do in their match on Saturday with Will Ospreay. But yeah, Floyd, tell me right now where your mind's at right now with this version of Ricochet.
He comes off like a bitch.
A little bit.
And I kind of dig it. I'm one of those people. I'm like, let it cook. I'm going to let it happen and then tell you what I think. So this is the beginning of something. And if you're a Ricochet fan, you probably hate it.
Yeah.
Because see, he really did. He really did look that well in this interaction with the Hurt Syndicate. It's just like Bobby Lashley just, you know, choked him out and dismissed him. And it's like, so what are you going to do about it?
What you going to do about it?
Yeah. And it was like the answer looked like nothing. So I am interested in seeing what is going to happen with this because, you know, I like Ricochet. I think there is something there. But, you know, it might be a case where he might have better interactions or whatever as a heel than a face. So I am like I said, wait and see is where I am with him right now.
For sure. I can understand that. We then had our first Continental Classic match of the night in the Blue League. We had Shelton Benjamin immediately going up against the Beast Mortos. God, dude, it's like, I love how good Mortos wrestles in this tournament, but it sucks so much just to see that, like, he's kind of just been here to be the guy that people rack up points on because he's really fucking good. He wrestles his ass off. Shelton Benjamin superplexing him, like, and just being able to lift him up is still absolutely insane to me. His strength that he showed was crazy. I love the comeback Mortos had in the middle of the match. But eventually though, Shelton's then able to just basically take him to Suplex City, strike him in the knee multiple times, hit the Hurt Fall and get the pin over Mortos. And that's when they start beating up, Mortos after the match, the Hurt Syndicate. MVP calls out Daniel Garcia saying, this is what you have to look forward to on Saturday. Garcia immediately comes out and goes, there's three of you and there's one of me, but I think everyone in DC wants to see a fight, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fight you even if I'm by myself. But he gets him back up from Mark Briscoe. They start fighting. MVP takes his cane and smacks Briscoe in the back, and that's when MVP takes the TNT title that Garcia had, and he passes it off to Shelton Benjamin. Garcia was a dumb motherfucker for trying to start this fight, first of all. I don't know why he decided to go out there and be like, I want to fight all three of you by myself. And even though I got Briscoe to help even the odds a little bit, we're still outnumbered and I'm going to get my ass beat. And having Shelton kind of putting his eyes on the TNT Championship has me very excited because I think that could be something that could be really, really fucking good. And it gives a little bit of heat for when these guys actually wrestle each other in the Blue League, which will be exciting. And especially if Shelton gets the win over Garcia, that gives him a huge opportunity for him to be challenging for the TNT Championship moving forward out of the Continental Classic.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing that's got me the most excited, because I don't think Shelton or Garcia will be anywhere near the finals of this tournament. But I think them being in the tournament now has set up a title match for the TNT Championship, which has me very excited.
Yeah, because, possibly at World's End.
Care about.
Yeah, possibly at World's End.
It's very possible, yeah.
Yeah, so that, you know, because next week's Dynamite is literally all Continental Classic matches.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're all, just a warning, they are recording them this week. So
yes,
if you want to avoid...
they are going to get Christmas off. Yeah, it's going to air Christmas Day, but they are giving the wrestlers Christmas off.
So if you want to avoid spoilers, just know, I believe they're recording it on Sunday. So that after Sunday would be the day to go in and set up your mute notifications on Twitter and all for sorts sure. of the, yeah, like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be spoiled. I'm just hoping I'm not.
Right, exactly. But it was a good match, though. Mordos and Shelton did their thing. I thought they had some really good spots.
Yeah,
there.
I like this new Shelton Benjamin suplex guy. That's what
dude,
he is.
Again, he's just because he's so fucking huge.
Yeah.
Again, Shelton's just a beast, and I love it. And again, I wish Mordos was able to get a dub under his belt, just because, you know, I still think he's outstanding as a worker, and it just sucks that he's 0-4 now in tournaments. His last match will be against Daniel Garcia. Mark Briscoe. That'll be his last match where hopefully he's able to get at least one win and he doesn't go winless, you know?
Absolutely. I agree. So, I don't want anybody to go winless, but, you know, if you do right. it like they did with Briscoe and Garcia and try to use it, you know, catapult into next year.
Correct. Yeah, I agree with that. Ricochet was interviewed afterwards, basically being like, you know, I don't know if business is off the table with the Hurt Syndicate, but I won't worry about it because I've already got 6 points, and I step in the ring with Will Ospreay. Then Nana and Swerve Strickland came up and goes, oh, you're still the same little... You're a little... And that's not going to work in AEW. Ricochet then goes like, I know the real Swerve. He didn't win the Continental Classic last year, so I know it's going to eat you up when I do. And he does his stupid laugh. Once again, it just leaves me interested to see how this Ricochet will act in this match against Will Ospreay. I'm going to be very, very intrigued about how his character and his ability, the way he carries himself. I'm going to be excited how that changes in the ring.
I just feel like, you know, they're going to have the banger match, but he's going to cheat.
Very good chance. Yeah. A very, very good chance.
Absolutely.
We then had the Life of a Rock Star segment with Tony Storm, interviewed by RJ City, but Tony was basically almost caught, like, from when she started. She's super excited to be in AEW and doesn't seem to remember anything that's happened and is basically been transported back to when she first joined AEW in the first place. Doesn't know who a timeless Tony Storm is. Doesn't know that she used to be AEW World Champion. Doesn't remember anything. And she was asked about all these wrestlers, and then she got Mariah May brought up, and she kind of had a twinge, but she still said, like, she's a gold standard in AEW and all that kind of stuff, and she's still being like, yeah, rock, yeah, like, I'm super cheery, good baby face, clean, yeah. She was, I genuinely think I mean this, too, when I say this. To me right now, not in terms of wrestling, because their wrestling styles are significantly different, but in terms of character work, Toni Storm is the new Mick Foley. Toni Storm is out here with multiple personalities and is jumping between them and is getting super weird shit and super avant-garde storyline-related character work, and she's getting it over. This girl she lost in London, and she lost to Mariah May, lost to her former best friend, lost her world championship, and disappeared. And then said timeless Toni Storm would be retiring and leaving wrestling. And now she's come back, and she's just where she started when she first came into AEW. They're selling her old shirts, like her debut shirts. They're selling them as if they're new.
And she,
which is absolutely fucking genius.
And RJ City, who has yet to get an AEW banner, Toni Storm has gotten two.
Absolutely, yeah, she's officially All Elite twice.
Yes. Do you know how confused I was on Rampage?
Oh yeah,
because, you know, we didn't get any like anything added. She showed up at the end of the Dynamite, and then she wrestled on Rampage a little bit later, and she's like, Toni Storm is All Elite, and I'm like, she's been All Elite.
Yeah, like, what is she talking about?
What is she talking about? Yeah, and it was funny. So I have enjoyed this. again, I will state this for the 1,000th time. My perfect wrestling company is 50% soap opera, 50% banger matches, right? I love it when the soap opera is good. I love a good Amnesia storyline. So I am all in on this Toni Storm one.
Dude, as a person that's selling it. She's yes. selling.
Yes. I mean, honestly, all storylines, everything in wrestling comes out to the person and they sell it, right? It can be the goofiest storyline, but if the person executes it in a way that they believe it, I'll believe it. That's why R-Truth is so amazing to me. Yeah. That is why Chelsea Green is so amazing to me. And that is why, in this case, Toni Storm and Harley Cameron are amazing to me. Like, whatever you give them, they're going to make it entertaining, right? She is all in. Toni Storm is all in on this character. And it is amazing. And it's like, this is something, if you felt the person wasn't into, you know, we wouldn't be into it. But she goes all in, so we go all in.
Yeah, dude. I mean, again, I really again, Mick Foley had the ability to just play all these different characters and these different faces of Mick Foley. And every single one of them has become this huge iconography of Mick Foley as a wrestler, whether it was Dude Love, whether it was Cactus Jack, whether it was Mankind, whether it was Mick Foley. And yes. I think Timeless Toni Storm has gone from that to now she's doing this whole thing with the Amnesia storyline. Like, she's the modern day version of that kind of shit.
Yeah. And
like, truly.
And the crazy and the most amazing thing about it is it actually does on our make sense. Timeless Toni Storm loved Mariah May too much to do what she needed to do to win. This Toni Storm that never met Mariah May will fuck up Mariah May and not even think
Very
about
much
it.
So. Very much so.
Yeah, so I love it. I do love it.
Yeah. She's done such amazing work. Absolutely amazing work. We then have Continental Classic Gold League match between the Aerial Assassin Will Ospreay facing off against Darby Allin.
I put this out on Twitter. I don't smoke. I needed a cigarette after this match.
Fucking, this is everything I was talking about. This is it. Dude, I mean, this was the match of the tournament right now.
Yeah.
This match was the best match of the tournament. You had two guys that had we'd never seen them lock up, and it was a definition of a dream match in AEW and a first time only match, and the crowd was hot from go.
Shout out to Washington DC. This is awesome before they even touched.
They didn't even lock up and people were already chanting holy shit. Like, and they fucking absolutely blew the roof off the building.
That's
Darby once again did the spot that made me fall in love with him, or at least like made me pay attention to him. Which was his coffin drop onto the apron, and it looked even worse this time around than it did when he tried to do it against Cody in Fyter Fest. I thought he died. Like, that shit looked horrendously awful, and it looked like it sucked. The section that's going like all over social media, the great work of the Code Red after you had the amazing full-on flip that led into the Hidden Blade right across the face of Darby Allin and the Code Red. Dude, I saw people jumping out of their seats behind the ring after that Code Red was hit, and people were so fucking gassed for this match. This is it. This is what the Continental Classic was for. This is what AEW was for. Matches like this. This is everything this company was built upon, and it absolutely fucking slapped. One complaint, and it's a pretty major complaint though.
What?
Why the fuck did this not go on last?
There is
absolutely no reason this match did not main event. I felt like it should have main evented even before I watched the match itself, but after seeing the match, there's no reason whatsoever this match should not have been the main event. And I know the only reason people are going to give me is, well, you know, world title, go home thing for the main event with the Death Riders and Moxley, Cassidy, Switchblade, and Hangman and all them. And because Dynamite next week is pre-taped and it's going to be all cut in the classic matches and we're not going to have the world champions or anything like that on the show, like, they got to get the go-home segment over now for the world title match, otherwise, because they're not going to have it for next week, to which I say, tough shit.
I mean, they wanted the WCW We Gotta Go sequence at the end of the show, and they got it.
Yep, they got it. Yeah. Tough shit.
Let me talk to you about this match. I'm telling you. So I have my thoughts and I get distracted, so I don't get any of this done. But I was like, man, you know, year end awards. But I was like, there's no point, because my top five, my five matches of the year are going to be all matches including Will Ospreay. And then my television matches of the year are going to be all matches, including Will Ospreay. So, it's
basically a fruitless battle, dude.
Yeah, he just
controls,
like,
the conversation. He just controls your list. Yeah. Your lists will not. Yeah. If you have a list that doesn't include Will Ospreay, it's not a list.
I mean, if Will Ospreay is not your wrestler of the year, I just shake your hand and say, we just see wrestling different. We just do. I'm a massive Cody Rhodes fan. Massive Cody Rhodes fan. In the ring, it's Ospreay.
It's Ospreay every day of the week.
Total package, I'm talking entrance, promos, all that stuff, I'll probably still give the edge to Cody. But it's only by a little bit, because Will Ospreay showed me a lot as far as promo ability.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just like, that's what I'm like. When I'm talking about Wrestle of the Year, I don't understand how it's not Will Ospreay. Now, if somebody says they don't like Will Ospreay, I get it. You have terrible taste, and we shouldn't talk ever again. I mean, it was cool. It was nice meeting you. Nice talking to you. Now go to hell. I don't know. Because is so, like, you're like, he just does flippy shit. No. The Hidden Blade is the hardest hitting move in professional wrestling.
He did a Styles Clash off of the apron onto the floor.
Dude, everything he does, you pray that Will Ospreay doesn't decide that he likes your move, because he's going to take your move and he's going to do it better than anyone has ever done the move ever before. And it's like, hyperbole, blah, 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 blah. Awesome. I've run out of words for Will Ospreay. The dude, Billy Goat, is the most accurate nickname for this wrestler that has ever existed for any wrestler ever. Because every time he wrestles, whether he wins, whether he loses, whether he draws, it's the greatest match you've ever seen. If he's in a ladder match, it's the greatest ladder match you've ever seen. He's in an Iron Man match, it'll be the greatest Iron fucking Man match that you've ever seen. No matter what he does, it's great. I can even say he's not my favorite wrestler, but god dang, I can't say there's a person I enjoy watching more than him.
I mean, dude, it's like... He's one of one. Ospreay is one of one. You don't see wrestlers like him. You do. And I can gush about Ospreay all I want. But again, Darby Allin to me, dude, I mean, like, I cannot tell you how many wrestlers will come and go, but there is a wrestler like Darby Allin. Motherfucker makes you care so goddamn much, which to me is half the battle if you're a professional wrestler. Because you can do everything in the world, like all the moves and all that kind of stuff, but if people don't care about you as a wrestler and your matches, then you can do whatever you want and it's not going to matter. Darby makes you care so fucking much. Even the people who don't like Darby still care, because they're like, Jesus Christ, this guy's going to kill himself. Like, he brings an emotion out of you. This man is absolutely not going to wrestle. Once he hits the age of probably 30, will be when he retires. But you know what? What a fucking time period he's going to wrestle in, because that man absolutely does not phone it in. He does not, like, give anything less than 100%. And he's that guy consistently. Ospreay may be the best wrestler in AEW. Darby Allin's my favorite in AEW because, again, he just fucking, he gets it. He gets it in terms of getting people into a match, and he's got everything. The look, the music, the entrance, the ability, and just the psychopathic feeling of just, I do not care what happens to my body. I'm going to put on a show for this crowd. Like, he's insane. He's absolutely insane, and I love him to death. That dude just, God, I can gush about Ospreay all I want, but I had to throw love for Darby, too, because, I mean, that dude is insane. Absolutely insane. But we've gushed about this match enough. Let's get into the main event, the Trios match.
Like I said, I don't know how you do your star thingies. Well, if that's not five, I got a question.
There's no question it's not. There's no question it's five.
I got questions. I'm like, well, how do you rate? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, as Trick Willie would say.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine every day. Yeah. And if you want to go up higher, you can, 1,000%.
Yes.
It's five at a minimum, for sure. But getting into the main event, the Death Riders, John Moxley, Bastard Pack, and Wheeler Yuta facing off against Orange Cassidy, Switchblade, and Adam Page. And this was all right. I thought this was fine. I thought there was a great strike into Moxley through where he basically almost nailed him in the throat, Orange Cassidy. Like, that shit looked crazy. Hangman wanted to start, but when he realized it was Yuta starting, he then immediately tags out to Orange Cassidy because he just wanted to fight John Moxley, which Orange Cassidy then immediately have to go after a guy who he used to consider his friend. But eventually, Hangman gets pissed. He is not happy about the fact that he gets out there and Hangman tags in, Moxley leaves. Then that's when he argues with Jay White and he leaves. He walks out. He leaves the match. That's when it's now 3-on-2 for a majority of the match. Jay White hanging in there for a majority of the time. Jay White had a lot of damage he took, and I thought that was cool. Eventually, though, as the match goes on, Hangman Page proceeds to run back in and decide, oh, I'm actually going to start wrestling now. He then gets in there, and he collides with Orange Cassidy thanks to Wheeler Yuta. Hangman then hits Wheeler with a buckshot lariat. Jay White hits the Blade Runner to Pack, but the victory is stolen because they're arguing with each other. Orange Cassidy then is just watching them argue. He gets rolled up by John Moxley, and Moxley pins Orange Cassidy to steal the win while Hangman and Jay White are arguing. Dumb babyface syndrome a little bit, but you know, it is what it is. Then they just start screaming at each other in the ring after the Death Riders were surrounding the ring. They fought back, though. Orange Cassidy was fighting Pack. Marina Shafir and John Moxley run off, and Moxley is now got the upper hand because everybody else on the match wants to kill each other, so now he's got a little bit of a breather in that four-way. Again, as a go-home segment for a world title match for a pay-per-view, it was solid. I thought it did what it needed to do. It was very clear why this went on last. I disagree with it heavily because, to me, the Continental Classic is what you've been selling your TV for the last few weeks for, and that match is the exact reason why people love the Continental Classic and why you should want it to go on last because, again, all the things that are leading into it, and because of the fact that right now, especially in the Gold League, it is fucking, like, absolutely narrow. We have four wrestlers tied for first place with 6 points. That shit is tight for the top spot in the Gold League, and we've only got like 2 more weeks of the Continental Classic. So to me, I still say you have the best match and the match that means a lot go on last as opposed to a trios match. That's just me. But again, they got what they wanted for their go home thing for the world title. I'm excited for the match. I do not care for the Death Riders. I've said this a million times. I'm just not interested whatsoever, and I got no care factor in it whatsoever. But Moxley, Orange Cassidy, Jay White, and Hangman all going at it for the world title is a match that will slap like crazy. No question about it. I think this match will be very exciting. I just don't care about the Death Riders. That's just me.
I mean, I will say this. The only thing about the Death Riders that I don't like is that they don't feel fresh because they were another faction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they were the Blackpool Combat Club. And it's like, okay, we got rid of Danielson. We added Pack. And then we added Marina. But you're still the Blackpool Combat Club. Change your name. Whatever. But you're still the Blackpool Combat Club. So it doesn't feel fresh. You know?
Right.
But they do have the clear leader, Mox. He's a badass. Like I said, the best thing that came out of Death Riders to me is Marina Shafir. And I truly believe, I don't know when they're ready, she should be in the women's title picture. Just playing the character that she's playing right now. But I have, this segment was fine. I honestly, it was just a segment. It's like, I don't really care about the four-way because I'm pretty sure Mox is going to win, right?
Right.
So like, it's like, you have not done a good job to convince me that someone else could actually beat Mox. And if you don't do a good job in the main event of your show, that's a problem. Because that's what really sells pay-per-views, is the main event, right? And the main event is kind of predictable. I mean, the undercard is less predictable than the main event when it comes to this pay-per-view with the matches announced so far. So we will see. I mean, like I said, I'm open. I am open. I have not been shut down to the Death Riders. Like I said, they just have to, you know, they have to go after people that we care about. That, you know, like, yeah, this whole Hangman thing, that works well. But Orange Cassidy, I don't know. Like I said, it's just like he just lost, and now he's just getting another title shot. Nope. Hey, explain it to me. Nope, we won't. We don't think we will. It's just gonna happen.
It's just gonna happen.
Yeah, so cool. So he gets to beat him up anymore. I guess Mox isn't happy that he didn't get to murder Orange Cassidy, so he wants to wrestle over again so he can actually murder him this time.
Yeah, but anyways, that was AEW Dynamite Holiday Bash from this past Wednesday. We got a lot real quick that we got to go over. First of all, let's not forget, folks, Final Battle is this weekend. We got a lot to look forward to with Final Battle taking place from the Manhattan Center in New York. There's some crazy matches that we're going to have on this show itself, so I want to give a shout-out to that show. And we can go through real quick the card and just say what we got for the matches that we have
for Final Battle. Yeah, I was going to say, I'd share the link.
I've got the whole thing. Yeah, there's four matches on 0 Hour, first of all. Grizzled Young Vets going up against Dark Order. Led going up against, or Lead going up against Gates of Agony. Harley Cameron against Hanako. The Infantry going up against Undisputed Kingdom. Katsuyori Shibata will face Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington. Mansoor takes on Atlantis Jr. QT Marshall back in action. He's going to wrestle Jay White. There's an open challenge for the Ring of Honor Pure Championship held by Lee Moriarty. A six-man Ring of Honor World TV Championship Survival of the Fittest match between AR Fox, Brian Cage, Blake Christensen, Willie Mack, Mark Davis, and Commander. Red Velvet will be defending her women's TV championship against Sons of Tears, a.k.a. Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. Will be defending their Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles. Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes against The Righteous. Athena.
In a double bull rope match.
Yeah, a Texas bull rope, double bull rope match, which will be wild. Of course, Athena will be defending her Ring of Honor Women's World Championship against Billie Starks, who just recently destroyed her custom spinner belt that she made for herself.
That will be the main event of the show.
Oh, no question about it. No fucking question about it. Because I think it's a pretty good chance that the coronation of Billie Starks of knocking off Athena as the forever Ring of Honor Women's Champion.
She gets to pull her Cody Rhodes.
She does.
She lost last year at Final Battle. She gets to come back and win.
The story.
Finish her story.
And then, of course, Ring of Honor World Championship, Matt Cardona taking on the Ring of Honor World Title Champion, Chris Jericho.
Now, I want to say, this is another one that might be ruined for me.
Oh, yeah?
Because I have decided, if this doesn't end with a GCW invasion and Matt Cardona is the champion, I'm going to be disappointed. They could go out there and put on fucking, like, a Will Ospreay versus Darby Allin type match. And I'm just like, oh, my God, on the edge of my seat. If it doesn't end with GCW invading and Matt Cardona, the King of New York, walking away as the ROH champion, throw it in the bin. I'm going British on you. That's how much I want it to happen. Throw it in the bin. Okay? So, yeah. This is me. I've worked myself into a shoot. I've decided that this is the only way this can happen. And like I said, any disappointment I may feel has been self-inflicted by me. Because I am a person that likes to think everything's a work. This GCW beef thing in Hammerstein,
right, blah, blah, blah.
Just seems too convenient not to use.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's like, especially when GCW is going to be in Hammerstein later. So, hey, you could even do this where you have Matt Cardona beat Jericho at ROH Final Battle, and then, you know, have Chris Jericho beat Matt Cardona at the GCW show, and we'd get the title back. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do this, but if it doesn't happen the way I want to, I am going to get on the internet and complain. I'm going to complain so hard.
So that is Final Battle and all the matches that are going to happen on that show. Definitely go and watch it. Check it out. It'll be on tonight when you guys are hearing this at 7 o'clock. So you can get it on pay-per-view and all that kind of stuff, Triller TV and all that. We then have, of course, Collision New York, which will be happening from the Hammerstein Ballroom. Plenty of Continental Classic matches that are going to be happening. Daniel Garcia versus Shelton Benjamin in the Blue League. Ospreay Ricochet in the Gold League. Darby Allin, Claudio Castagnoli in the Gold League. Mark Briscoe and the Beast Moritos in the Blue League. And then we're also going to get a face-to-face between MJF and Adam Cole. And this will be happening immediately after the college football playoff wraps up on TNT. We have two games that'll be happening on Saturday. First, SMU facing Penn State at noon, and Clemson facing off against Texas at 4 p.m. So as soon as that game wraps up, that is when Collision.
Unlike SEC people, I am the opposite. And now that ACC people are in the tournament, I want them to lose. Because if you're not FSU, fuck you.
Pretty much how you are. Floyd is residing in the Spite store currently.
Yes.
He's gonna reside there for quite some time.
I just want Oregon to win. No one will be happy if Oregon wins. Phil Knight. That's it. That's the only guy.
There you go. And then of course, Hammerstein Ballroom for AEW Dynamite / Rampage in New York on Christmas Day. Well, actually, no. Rampage will be on Sunday. So it'll be taping on Sunday, and then it'll air on Wednesday. Of course, more Continental Classic matches. Blue League, you're going to get Shelton Benjamin and Kazuchika Okada, Commander versus Claudio in the Gold League, Ospreay versus Brody in the Gold League, and they actually have this messed up on the website. That's hysterical. They have Darby Allin on the screen, but they labeled him as Will Ospreay. You guys got to fix this shit.
Will Ospreay, he beat Will Ospreay. Now he owns his
Now he name. Is Will Ospreay. Yes. He has sucked out the essence of Will Ospreay, and Darby Allin is now Will Ospreay.
Yes.
And Darby Allin will be facing Ricochet in the Gold League, and in the Blue League, Daniel Garcia facing off against Kyle Fletcher. So right now, just to give you an idea of where we are in the Continental Classic, in the C2, like I said, in the Gold League, four wrestlers tied for first place with 6 points with a 2-1 record. Darby Allin, Claudio, Will Ospreay, and Ricochet all with 6 points. Meanwhile, Brody King with the one win has 3. Commander is 0-3 currently. He has 0 points in the Blue League. Meanwhile, Kyle Fletcher only with 1 loss. He is got the 9 points. Kazuchika Okada also only with 1 loss, but he has a draw in there, so he has 7 points in second. Mark Briscoe in third with 2 wins, 2 losses. He has 6 points. You then have Shelton Benjamin, who is 2-1 with 6 points. Daniel Garcia is 1-1-1 with 4 points. And like I said, the Beast Martos, 0-4 with 0 points right now. And this is where we're at right now, getting ready for this Saturday for Collision Christmas Collision. Like I said, it's coming down to the wire right now, especially the Gold League, where it's just like we're sitting up in the air wondering where the fuck, who's going to break out of this.
Yeah. We are looking forward. Yeah. So, like, everything that's coming out, I think this Collision, these final few days of Collision, about to be the most exciting wrestling, and they're going to end really, really strong.
Yeah. The C2 has finally gotten to where we wanted it to be. AEW heard our complaints, and we're finally to the level of where the C2 is.
Or... Or they planned a slow burn to Awesome C2 from the whole beginning,
and we were just got our mouths shut.
Yeah, so like I don't know, I know they listen to the audience. I hope we're a part of the audience that they listen to, but they listen to the audience. So there you go. I'm looking forward to the end of the C2. I really don't know who's gonna win. I think Will Ospreay is going to be in the finals, but I know he's going to be. I feel like he's going to be one. And I think Okada's going to be on the other. But I was like, dude, they can't just give us Okada versus Ospreay on World's End, can they? With no build. Oh my God, I think people would go crazy.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
But that is everything we've got right now. I don't think there's really any other news that we got to get into. That's everything we have for this week of AEW, I think.
So. No, dude. So only news they have, you can go to Chop Tees and buy T-shirts for us. Buy All Things Elite T-shirts. Be prepared to wear them to All In. Yes, every year. So Suplex, our parent station, does this draft they call the FOH draft, as in fuck out of here draft. As as they go over a few hours, they drink, and they talk about the shit basically they didn't like in wrestling that year, and people they didn't like, and if you had any ancillary connection to wrestling, you can get it. So the show should be coming out, if not like the next few days, like Monday or whatever. The way they do it is basically it's a pay-as-you-go. You know what I mean? Pay what you want. You download the show and you have an amount to donate. I'm going to say they do this effort every year. It's one of the most hilarious shows of the year. Everyone should absolutely download and listen to it and give what you can. Just remember, it's Christmas. These are normal guys. These aren't like rich people. They're not like Connor at them. They're just normal guys to do a show. So, you know, help them out if you can. If you can't, you know, they understand. Still make sure you listen to the show and tell them how much you loved it and whatever you feel that they need to hear. But apparently this show our year was especially hilarious, so I am looking forward to listening to it as I do every year.
There you go. Yeah, definitely check that out for sure. But I think that'll do it for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. We appreciate you tuning in every single week. Thank you for supporting us, and hope you guys are having a great holiday season. Of course, next week is Christmas, so we guys hope you have an amazing holiday. Hope you, whatever you celebrate, enjoy your holiday season. If you enjoy the show, please check us out and follow us on anywhere you get your podcasts. Be sure to turn automatic downloads on, whether it's YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever the case may be. Rate, review, subscribe, share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex for all their other great shows they have on their network that you should check out. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Merry Christmas, guys. Have an amazing holiday. Hope you guys are doing great. And I will let our buddy Floyd take us home for this episode of All Things Elite.
As we go into Christmas and you're doing your last minute shopping and all that stuff, I will say this. If you have a Netflix subscription or you're about to get one for WWE, there is this little movie starring Nina Dobrev called Love Hard. I think it's, personally, I consider it the new Christmas classic. It's Nina Dobrev and Jimmy O Yang, and it's just a really funny movie. So this is not like a super advertisement. It's just like CIA saying, hey, if you haven't watched this movie, watch it because it's a really good movie. You know, it's been out for like a year. No, shit. It came out in 2021. So it's been out for a while. I've seen it like, I've watched it at least every year since 2021. But I think I'm between like 6 and 10 times that I've seen it. I really love it. I really love it. I just think it's a new classic holiday movie, and it's, you know, it's called Love Heart because it happens to deal with one of my favorite Christmas movie. Love Actually is a topic in the movie, and the anti-Christmas is people's Christmas movie, Die Hard. So yeah. It's a combination of those. I thought it was hilarious, and I do love movies that reference other movies. That always gets me going. So definitely, if you have time, watch Love Hard. But to all that celebrate, Merry Christmas. To all of our Jewish kin, Happy Hanukkah. And if there's a holiday around this time of year that I don't know about, hey, I celebrate that with you. And to those that don't celebrate, just have a good week. There's nothing wrong with it. Just have a good week. So I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Most weight loss plans are one size fits all, not taking into account each person's individual needs. Noom is here to change that. Noom Weight uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account your unique biological factors, which also affect weight loss success. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. One of the great things about Noom is that it's nourishing instead of restrictive. They focus on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything for that matter. Have cravings? Food FOMO? Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com.